Welcome everyone to the Last Lap podcast, post Singapore Grand Prix, post 9 out of 10 race, post Carlos Sainz winning, post George Russell bottle job. Ladies and gentlemen, nah, I'm kidding. We love George around here, but a dramatic race, Jesus Christ, unbelievable one. And I'm lost for words. Once Red Bull are actually out of the equation, it's been a stunner of a Grand Prix.
It's what people have been saying all season. I was like, what if we took away Red Bull racing? Yeah. What would it be like?
More precisely, Max Verstappen. Actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Sergio Perez was taken out.
He's not doing anything. Yeah. Which is mad, by the way.
You need to get him more annoyed, actually. You're Tomo today, so you've got to be furious.
Oh, wait, you're the Albon defender.
Yeah.
Mm. Audio listeners, I'm spinning around.
Okay.
All right, mate, let's do some waffle, yeah? Different. Valtteri Bottas, where was he?
Different gravy.
Different gravy, mate.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't even address that, by the way. Yeah, Tomo is not here for the pod, wasn't here for the live show because he's at a family function. But that was a great impression. I think we didn't even miss it.
I feel like you could also do a really good Tomo impression as well. What's your best Tomo impression?
All right. Let me spin around.
And it's just come for you too as well, by the way.
Fuck.
No, it's all right. No, just for the short and sweet. It'll just be me.
All right, lads. Tomo here. Welcome, West Ham United. Shout out Mikel Antonio.
They have to do that. Up the hammers.
Yeah. East London and that. Yeah, no.
Back onto the F1.
Yep, sorry. Yeah, sorry about that. Sergio Perez, not so much. But yeah, Max Verstappen out of the picture. Did a really good job to recover, actually. But what a race we had up at the front.
Mm. Unbelievable. Mm. Carlos Sainz, big brain driving.
Mm.
Unbelievable. Pole conversion, Leclerc.
Yeah.
Your teammates had a pole conversion. Mm. In a Ferrari.
Yeah, this is unheard of.
Well, look, three constructors fighting for a win. That's what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
So minus Max Verstappen, the alien, we have a competitive F1.
And indeed, we have broken the curse. Mm. The McLaren TV curse.
Yeah.
Every time you've been on, something bad has happened to McLaren.
Yeah.
But evidently not.
I had people adding the McLaren fan account saying, do not go on last lap today. Do not. You have a curse. But we got a podium. P2.
It is.
Car upgrades looking good. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's actually on pace with the cars around them. So, yeah, fantastic result. Mm-hmm. And we saw something very interesting in George Russell.
Yes, we did. Mm. We did. We saw that bottle gene. No, I'm kidding. I love you, George. But it's just so Luke, beautiful. As well, you'll be happy. Honorary Ferrari fan for today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm the reason Sainz did so well.
He can
thank me later. No, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, I would say best race of the year, but it's easy to say that straight after it finishes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first race where Red Bull aren't there, we have a, you know, competition like that. Four drivers... Four laps to go within 4 seconds.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that's what it was as well. Obviously, we've had some good races this season. More recently, we've had like Zandvoort as well. But like just that, literally at the end, 4 seconds covering the top four on the final lap.
Yeah.
Three different teams, different drivers in different stages of their careers. It was just like that. It felt like that's what the potential of Formula One under the new regulations is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just if you just took Red Bull out of there for a second.
But then also, it's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because also you have like Red Bull who are doing the best case scenario of how good a team can work within Formula One.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, yeah, if you remove them, but it's kind of shining a light on like how good a team could actually be.
They are good at everything, literally everything.
Apart from getting a second driver apparently with Perez. I mean, like, so by the way, we are recording this directly after the race has just happened. So if there are any penalties that have come out since then, we don't currently know. At the moment, there's been a couple of reprimands potentially for VSC. For him and Albon, but also
then him and Albon coming together.
Yeah,
as well.
Him diving it down the inside on like the hairpin, I think it was, and just literally hitting. Yeah, just madness from Perez there. So I don't know if it's humidity or just desperation or whatever it is. It just can't carry on like this. It's just awful.
I feel like we talk about poor Sergio kind of every week, but it did. I was saying at the end of the show, it feels like there's a reason every single time.
Yeah.
You know, I know obviously. We'll get into Red Bull struggles a bit more, but they both didn't make it to Q3. First time since 2018, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Russia 2018.
Yeah. Unheard of almost, to be honest with you. But even in qualifying, spin,
rather than just not being quick enough. And it just feels like there's just too many mistakes creeping in, and maybe a level of desperation when it comes to trying to keep hold of that seat in the, for the foreseeable future, going for a move like that on Albon.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's because they also brought a new floor as well, some other technical bits as well, and it just seemed like none of it worked. And even when they divvied back to it, this didn't make any
sense. Yeah, I mean, what is the reason for Red Bull's struggles?
Honestly, I think they've been kind of flagging that for weeks, saying, look, Singapore's not going to be the track for us. Mm. So I think of all teams to understand their car, they understand their car the best, Red Bull.
Yeah.
And them flagging it, saying, look, it does not match the characteristics of this car. It just didn't look like it had any mechanical grip. It couldn't turn in. And like Verstappen was just drifting all over the place from quali to practice to even the race. So it was just off the pace compared to the other cars around them, and where they qualified kind of put the nail in the coffin in their race.
This is sponsored by NordVPN, the fastest VPN out there, Niren. Mm-hmm. What can you do with a VPN, mate?
If you're going on a holiday, for example, yeah. Okay. Let's say, for example, you're going to Spain.
Oh, where in Spain?
Andalusia.
Wow.
Let's say, for example, you want to watch like your favorite like fiction film, whatever, about witches and wizards and stuff. You might not be able to watch it whilst you're away in Spain because it's just not available on, say, Netflix or any streaming service that's over there. You can stay at home virtually with NordVPN, so you can watch it. You can change your location on the app, on the site, so that you can still watch your favorite shows and films.
That's crazy. And you know what as well, right? You can defend yourself, right? Malware, threat protection.
Yep.
So to grab your exclusive discount on NordVPN plan, head to nordvpn.com/TLL, the last lap. See what it did there?
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
For 4 months free, 30-day money back guarantee as well. Now
4 months free, you know. Oh, we're out here, man. That's crazy.
That's a lot of days.
We're providing for the people.
We are providing for the people.
Check out the link down in the description below. You will not regret it. 4 months free and a 30-day money back guarantee.
NordVPN.com/TLL.
Yeah, no, I think, well, we were saying kind of before the race and a bit during it, you know, the Singapore track, you do need to raise your car a lot higher in terms of ride height. So I just think aerodynamically, it just wasn't suitable at all. And so they had to raise the ride height of the car. Couldn't be as low. The grip wasn't as much there. Rear grip was awful. Yeah. I mean, Verstappen could barely drive into the pits without, missing the entry. So I think it is a one-off. Maybe we'll see the gap close somewhat going to Japan. Mm. But I do think this is a kind of bogey track as such for Red Bull. And it seems dominant teams generally.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Every single time we come here, it's like Mercedes back in the day struggled every single time. Red Bull now struggled. Verstappen last year struggled. Every race at Singapore, that's what I heard. Every race at Singapore. You can't have a dominant team if you go
Singapore
to that
race 17.
There are many streets in Singapore to do different track layouts on.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. So. Mm. We'll just drive around the streets of Singapore. It doesn't even have to be here. Yeah. But all the streets of the entire nation, we'll just do a rally around there. It's calm.
Should we go through some of the incidents that happened throughout the race? Have we a little chat about that? I can't even try and remember.
Yuki Tsunoda.
Yuki Tsunoda and Sergio Perez again. Sergio Perez, repeat offender.
Yeah. So for context, in the broadcast, we only saw an onboard from behind.
Yeah.
And we saw Perez going, so we haven't seen the full context of what happened there. But even then, during the race, we mentioned it wasn't even being reported, let alone being noted or any penalties coming through.
Yeah.
I'm assuming the damage was more than a puncture. Otherwise, Yuki just could drive it back to the pit lane. Yeah, so maybe a suspension issue or what have you. It's just, again, desperation from it. It's sad, though.
The thing is, you can get into like a spiral, can't you? Of like, once the performance has dropped, it's like, right, I've got to give it even more beans. Mm. And if you're already at max performance and you're struggling to keep up with Verstappen, as everybody would. Once you start going, okay, I've got to do more. And you just get into a cycle of overdriving at all possible opportunities.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. Monaco crash, overdriving. Yeah. Hungary in practice, you know, when he dipped a wheel and overdriving. Yes. Yeah. Like his first lap of all of the whole weekend, overdriving. Every move today felt like overdriving. Hit Tsunoda, hit Albon. I think he just knows his seat is like, under serious fire. He's got to pull it out of the bag.
I do feel he had a period where he was finding some composure. You know, there was the quali run where he failed to get into Q3 for X amount of races. Yeah,
it was like Miami for like, from Miami on was like 7 Grand Prix, I think it was.
Didn't get into Q3. But he then kind of got some form back. I mean, form, it's relative for Verstappen, it's hard to say. But yeah, I mean, quali, he was obviously, he always normally struggles in quali just because that's how he sets up a car. But he came back, I think it was Belgium. He put in a decent drive to finish P2. Race after that, he looks a bit more composed. It looked like Sergio was settling into a pretty decent second driver role.
Yeah.
And now this has happened and he's just all over the shop. I mean, there's the amount of occasions in this race where he's just been lost and making mistakes, hitting cars, you know.
Okay, I really felt for him when his tyres were going off. Because I think it was that lap where he just got overtaken by four cars.
So quickly, it was mad. It was just
he was defending well for a bit, and then the tires just dropped off. And then he was just basically a traffic cone. But like honestly, I feel like he started the season well. The car's kind of gotten away from him now in terms of it's developed in a different way, and now he's struggling more and more just getting to grips with the car, and it's affecting his performances because obviously he's trying to get the most out of it, and it's not suiting his driving style, and he's really in danger now of possibly losing his seat mid-season next year. Obviously, he's got a contract. He's contracted next year to Red Bull. Red Bull might think, okay, we don't want to upset this because we're winning anyway. By such a canter in as well, because Perez is P2 in the championship.
But he has done better than, I think, the drivers before him, apart from Ricciardo.
It's also that balance as well of kind of like, you don't want two number one drivers when you're winning comfortably, but you also don't want someone that's going to be such a liability that you're going to actually lose the Constructors' Championship.
Yeah.
Now, Red Bull are fine right now because they have such an advantage, but like, say Singapore is a more sort of like, happens more regularly next season, or McLaren and Mercedes and Ferrari just get a bit closer. Sergio Perez is going 7 races in a row, not getting into the top 10 in qualifying.
Yeah.
You're losing a lot of points come race day. You can't just drive back through the order like he does at the moment.
He's very lucky Max has been on the ball and winning those races, because he's supposed to be there to pick up the pieces when Max is not there. And he has won the 2 races that Max hasn't won, bar this race that none of them won. But he needs to be closer.
Yeah, and also Red Bull know as well that looking at everyone knows, like, Perez is not good enough to beat Verstappen or anything. And so just having that, like, that overarching sort of narrative around him. It's not something which Red Bull are wanting. They're not wanting, someone who really represents our brand and team that well is being Max Verstappen. But then Sergio Perez is also not really getting that. So then you get these awful remarks from like advisors, like Helmut Marko was saying.
Advisor.
Like, it's advisor, yeah. Well, he's on the payroll.
He's there.
But yeah, so that's where you're getting these awful comments coming through. And it's like, then they're not granted, but they're still commenting on his situation because his level's not reaching.
It's a tough situation to be in, because you kind of, especially off the back of the comments from Helmut Marko, you really want him to actually to kick on and try and prove him wrong. You know, Red Bull love to do that. They love to just like throw drivers under the bus, like in the media, because it's like, we'll get a reaction out of them, and sometimes it just, you know, has a negative one.
But also, Red Bull wouldn't want a driver that could like possibly beat Max Verstappen in that, obviously.
No, facts.
So it's really like a balancing act for them.
No, I think
Bottas was like the perfect number two driver.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're looking for the perfect number two driver that's on pace, but it's not seriously harming.
Valtteri Bottas was so consistent, apart from that final year at Mercedes. He was so consistent.
Yeah, here's a crazy stat. Sorry. So it was 102 races, Red Bull consecutive Q3 appearances. Valtteri Bottas from Australia 2017 to Australia 2022. 103 races he's had consecutive Q3 appearances.
So so Valtteri Bottas
ridiculous.
Dominant Red Bulls
in quality is there.
I think he's so rare to find, though. You know, Perez is doing a good job in terms of being there. You know, 2 chances to win the races, he has done that.
But it should be every ace almost. Like, it should be like in an ideal world, it should always be like a P1 to P2, but not also like being at the back of the grid.
Yeah, like the bare minimum when you're Sergio Perez is you have to finish second.
Yeah, and his qualifying is awful as well. We're not strange to that. Obviously, he's got a few pole positions here and there, but like, he is typically awful as qualifying.
Yeah.
And then has to work all the way through. So it's just like, anyway.
It's given it, what it has done is given other teams some hope and other teams a chance of victory today. George Russell is one man that had a chance of victory today. After Mercedes tried the alternative strategy, who went off. There was a virtual safety car. So who was it, Fernando Alonso?
No,
I think Ocon broke down.
Yeah, the car broke down.
Which gave us a VSC right towards the end, and obviously Mercedes rolled the dice, went onto the mediums.
Which I think we all were a bit like, that's the wrong strategy.
Yeah,
I think we're all
especially with like only a couple of maps, 10 laps, 15 laps.
I was thinking that was absolutely, they're just throwing that away, but I slapped wrong with that.
Yeah, to be honest, without like some really intelligent thinking from Carlos Sainz to keep Lando in his DRS, I think Mercedes would have easily come back and won that Grand Prix.
Yeah.
But George Russell, obviously, right at the death, clipping the wall.
Just hates the street circuit.
You've got to be alert.
You have to be alert.
And he was not.
And then also, I think on the onboard as well, Lando, I mean, admitted afterwards, he also slightly touched the wall, but not to the same effect.
Yeah.
So it must have just been, you know, Russell just trying to like get as close and almost the same lines that Lando was doing.
Almost follow that.
Following him in, yeah. But then...
followed him in.
Yeah, maybe that was Lando.
If I tap this wall...
But that could also have been really bad for Lando as well. Like, could have had the exact same effect.
Easily. Could have had Lewis P2.
Yeah. I would hate to have had that way. Obviously, Lando's had his one potential victory from Sochi being taken away from him there and then having the P2 here. I mean, he's had P2 before, but that this circuit where it's so physically, it's the most physically demanding for all the drivers, having to do so much prep and work for it as well. To have that potentially thrown away would have been such an awful thing, but I'm glad he pulled it.
How rare is it to have a last lap crash?
Yeah.
Especially in that position.
Pushing.
For a win. You know, it's a massive shame for George. I did call it a bottle job, but I do feel bad for him.
But he did bottle it.
Yeah, he did bottle it.
Lewis Hamilton didn't follow him.
Was like, okay.
Yeah. Lewis Hamilton didn't follow him. Yeah. He didn't do it absolutely.
I don't think Hamilton does that in his position.
No, I don't think so either. But,
Is
it experience? Is it, you know, George?
They just conceded. Yeah, they should have just conceded and be like, this is the finishing position.
I think that's what it is. I think once the final lap started and you were third, you're not winning. Because there's only a certain amount of DRS opportunities you're going to get.
You're in Singapore.
Yeah.
It's not like it's... Spa.
Exactly, where you could overtake anyone at any time. Like it was always going to be a bit of a difficult one. But yeah, he's clipped the outside wall and it's game over.
But then also, I think we should briefly talk about Piastri as well.
Mm-hmm.
Got really unfortunate from the red flag of Lance Stroll crashing Q1, where he couldn't finish his lap. So that means he ultimately had to start P17.
Mm-hmm.
P7 as a finish. Brilliant job from him. I mean, like...
Unbelievable,
He, obviously, is Rookie of the Year, obviously.
Yeah.
I think he's, like, the only one, basically.
It's a Logan, isn't it?
Logan, and Nick DeVries.
We can throw Nick DeVries in the contest
there. I mean, it's getting close, lads. Compared to, like, the previous years, he's done an excellent job. And, like, yeah, better than Ricciardo. And just, like, he's gotten so comfortable with that McLaren. And he's, like, on par, I would say, with Lando a few times as well. And he's just, like... I reckon if Lando and him were the swap positions, I think it would pretty much be the same outcome.
Yeah, I think what I really like about Oscar personally is just he doesn't seem to be like flappable.
No.
At all.
He's so complete back.
He's 99 composure. Literally, he's just like...
Very relaxed.
It's your first season in Formula 1. He's never driven Singapore. He's just gone from 17th to 7th. Calmly, just drive through the order. Bless. Mm. Doesn't make crazy mistakes. Doesn't bin it.
He's like, look, for me as a McLaren fan and him coming into the team, I'm like, this kid is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's like, as a rookie, you forget that he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. The way he approaches races, the way he's just like, this ain't a problem. No, he takes his practice sessions quite chilled out. If I'm slow in practice, I don't care. I'm learning the track.
Yeah.
And then he puts it in quality, does what he's doing. He's had bad luck as well.
Yeah.
In a lot of races. And
yeah, even Monza.
Monza, bad Lewis. Luck. Like, he just got taken out.
But it's not things that he's done wrong. And like, yeah, I feel bad because like at the very start of the season, I naturally didn't like him purely on the case that he replaced my favorite driver.
Yeah.
Nothing that he's done wrong or anything like that. And so I'm so happy to see he's actually on par with Lando in a lot of cases. And on the few times where he could have got a podium, it just be missed out and not through his own thing. Because also it is his first season with a proper F1 team as well. So I'm so glad to see him doing really well, especially in this race here.
Honestly, like obviously with all the rumors with Lando, possibly going to Red Bull and going to another team, I'm not particularly too worried now because I know I've got Oscar there. Yeah. I feel like Oscar could be a lead driver if he needs to be.
Oh, maybe.
So to kind of like unearth a gem like that, Yeah. And the Alpine must be kicking themselves.
Yeah, there's a reason they were after him. You know, lawsuits over this driver.
Yeah.
And how old is he? What, 21?
He's 1 year younger than Lando.
Yeah. You know, to cause that much controversy, we were like, this guy needs to perform.
Yeah.
He has to be amazing.
And also so warrant much pressure this drama. Like, so much pressure to have, like onto that is...
With that Alpine stuff hanging over him, yeah.
So he had to live up to the hype, and he's definitely
they basically put him in jail for 6 months as well.
Mm. He's unlucky not to get a podium in Silverstone as well, because of the safety car. Yeah. Like, he would have ticked a lot of boxes, and the car's in a good place right now, so that podium's still available for him. So it's looking really, really bright. And I think you have to remember, he's a rookie.
Mm.
He's only going to go up
ceiling-wise. Yeah. I think he's actually been like really... not fortunate, I don't mean it like that, but it's in like it's played out nicely for him in terms of like when he first joined, he's a rookie, whatever, but the McLaren is, to all intents and purposes, shit.
Yeah.
It is a shit box. But everyone knows. So it's like, oh bless, there's no pressure.
Mm.
Like, we're not expecting anything from you because the car is horrendous, right? All the way up until like Baku, not really fighting for points that often. But it allows him to sort of like integrate a little bit into F1 like culture. And also just like actually driving an F1 car.
Yeah.
And then at Silverstone, perfect time in the year, boom, suddenly it's a car that's actually fighting for podiums and he can show what he can do. He's actually learned, he's had that little honeymoon phase to get used to Formula One. Now he's, you know, so it's been great for him.
I remember the moment I was in Jeddah qualifying when he got P8. I was like, and then I looked at the data and I was like, this car's the slowest car in the race. How on earth did you get P8?
Yeah.
Quali in your second race.
Yeah.
So it's just all cornering.
Mm.
And obviously he's fantastic in cornering. And I remember watching it on board in Silverstone in that first stint. It looked like it was just any other day.
Yeah.
He's like a robot. It's like,
Yeah.
No kicks are over his steer.
Yeah.
No
scale extra.
He's just like, right. he knows his lines, he knows everything perfect. Mm. So
yeah.
Proper professional driver for somebody that young.
Yeah, really impressed with him. Another candidate, really, for driver of the day. Obviously, we spoke about Carlos Sainz. He won driver of the day. He was one of our drivers.
Yeah, Dave.
Definitely. I still can't get over that. Like, IQ.
That's crazy.
Because on the radio, he's obviously like, on purpose. Yep, don't worry. Yeah. I'm keeping it below a second. It's all calm.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So good.
From him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he's more doing it so that they're fighting behind, so what have you, or more if he wants to help out his old teammate.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to keep you going.
Oh, no. Beautiful stuff.
Still helps him out.
Yeah, exactly. We mentioned, obviously, Oscar, very impressive rookie, will be rookie of the season. One man that's technically a rookie is the man that's on the screen in the background right now, Liam Lawson. First points in Formula One.
Oh, my days.
Third Grand Prix, 2 points.
In the bag.
This is like
future F1 champion.
This for me is really solidifying. Yeah, I mean, it solidifies ridiculous. To me that this is the team that should be at AlphaTauri next year. It should be Liam Lawson and Daniel Ricciardo. Like, both drivers have come in and have been on par with him kind of from the get-go. Obviously, you have to have a little bit of tax there with Ricciardo with the whole incident with his wrist or what have you for avoiding Oscar, who'd already crashed by that point. But Daniel's first race in Hungary, like... incidents to galore, and if you just look at the lap times, you can see that like Ricciardo was just outpacing Ryuki comfortably, and that was his first proper time back for it. And these are two theoretically in quotations rookie, obviously for Liam it is, but not for Ricciardo, but having two people who don't know the car jump in straight into an F1 weekend and being on par with Ryuki, if not better, surely that then is alarm bells for them to be like, right, okay, maybe Yuki he's been here at the team for 3 years, he's not utilizing this properly, and if we are wanting to get a bigger sponsor on for next year, whether it's going to be renamed to Hugo Boss or Adidas, which I think he's got been rumored this morning, whatever the team name's going to be, they want to have the big stars behind it, and I think Yuki doesn't really give that at the moment. And yeah, Yuki's fine because he's small, but I've never got that hype. And it's just a bit like, the reason is, it's like the results. It's like, if they've not progressing the team up further than where they should be, then...
It just boils down to, you know, AlphaTauri is there to put drivers in the Red Bull seat. Mm. That's the reason it exists. That's why they bought it. That's why they spent hundreds of millions on it. So to have a driver like Yuki, who by all means is a perfectly capable Grand Prix driver, but he is not going to be put in that Red Bull seat unless he has an amazing turn of form. Whereas Lawson, possibly there's much more potential, and then Ricciardo's already been there. So there's a chance he could find form again.
I think that's where it more comes down to. Because I think we're being a bit harsh on Yuki. I think, especially I know I have vested interest.
Oh,
I do love him. But like, certainly in terms of his comparison with Liam, like, strategy in Zandvoort, catastrophic. Monza doesn't even reach the starting grid and actually did pretty well in qualifying. Obviously here, blocked in qualifying, then taken out in a race. So it's kind of hard to compare him with Liam. Liam has done an amazing job.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing job. And probably would have scored points where Yuki didn't today because Liam was higher up in the order, did an unreal job to get into Q3.
Yeah, qualified him.
In his third qualifying session. That's insane. I do think Yuki is a decent F1 driver, but I think that's what it comes down to. Can you picture Yuki Tsunoda in a Red Bull?
Well, this is the,
I'm not really sure, even as a second driver.
I don't think he has
that consistency more than anything. He's got enough speed, but I don't think he's got enough consistency to be in a car that could like win races and like really be a rear gunner to Max Verstappen.
He's there
more than
because
anything.
Of Honda as well. Yeah. Honda and Red Bull are cutting tires soon. So it could be look for him as well. If he sees that, oh, look, I'm not going to be in this Red Bull seat. Yeah. I'm not going to be next to Max.
I think
for like, him, his best interest is to look for elsewhere as well.
Yeah, I think
for other seats.
I agree. I do also think part of my Red Bull thinking head that next year it could literally just be still AlphaTauri, Yuki, Ricciardo, and then Lawson just gets the upgrade straight to Red Bull because that's a very Red Bull thing to do.
I really hope they don't. I completely agree. I've destroyed too many talents.
Exactly.
I hope they don't do that.
But also, if they were to do that, I'd be like, be go on, Liam. Also,
take a chance.
I'm shit scared now.
The safer option is to put Ricciardo in that seat.
If you're going to change it, I'm going to be honest with you. I do at this point now. I think they're just going to. It keeps flip flopping every week, but I think they're going to just keep Sergio Perez in the seat because that's the easiest thing to do. I don't think there's anyone that's like fully ready. Daniel might have shown that he was capable, but obviously the hand. He's missed four Grand Prix. Yeah. It's really difficult to judge now, which is a shame. But I think the safer option, realistically, especially going into a year where it's going to be crucial with contracts being up in 2025, give it to Sergio Perez. You know, see if he can get some kind of confidence back. And yeah, maybe stick Liam Lawson and Daniel Ricciardo and the AlphaTauri and whoever does the job replaces Sergio Perez the next season.
Yeah. Red Bull definitely want to be in that 2025 driver market conversation. So they want to keep one seat free.
Definitely.
To see who they can actually poach.
Because there's so many to try.
They could get Carlos Sainz. Who knows? Return of Max and Carlos.
Oh, but I think Max and Lando. I mean, Lando wants to be a world champion, right? And to be against Max.
Sorry.
Just
for context. In the background, we've got a TV up in the background. The Sergio Perez move, that's the first time I've seen it from Sergio Perez's angle on Albon. That is horrendous.
Yeah.
That's
grade one terrorism.
Yeah.
I don't think that's like
not a penalty after the race. I will say it now. Red Bull have genuinely paid the FIA.
Yeah,
if that's reprimand, what's he doing here? That stinks. I think this is just a move from Lando on Max.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's obviously a good problem for AlphaTauri to have. To be fair, to have so many drivers that they could technically choose from.
Yeah,
they're all capable. You know, Liam Lawson's proven it. Daniel Ricciardo's proven it. Mm. Yuki Tsunoda's proven it over 3 years.
Your point with the Lando possibly at Red Bull. He's not going to do second driver. He's not going to listen to
the orders. That's too controversial.
But then you're also imagining that Max is still wanting to stick around for a little bit longer. Yes, obviously the reason he's just getting a bit bored of it. Obviously that's when the racing needs to get a bit more competitive, what have you. But if I know he's quite young still, but he's been in sport for so long now. That like, you know,
well, 2028 is always the year that people bookmark as like, this could be the one where Max Verstappen retires.
The end of the contract, isn't it?
End of his contract. And he's kind of talked about it before where he'd be like open to leaving a bit earlier.
Yeah.
I think Lando would be a controversial one because he'd probably be up to speed pretty quickly and he wouldn't want to be just the second driver at Red Bull. He wouldn't want to have that sort of like Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon role.
Yeah.
But obviously, if Max was to call it a day after 3 years, then I guess you've just got a ready-made first.
Oh, yeah. If Max is retiring or whatever, and there's a seat, absolutely, Lando is the perfect choice.
Yeah.
But to put them against each other, they're great friends, but that will turn sour quickly. They're both very competitive.
Lewis Rosberg, part two.
Where
they were good friends before.
They put one little incident.
Yeah, incident.
And it's all falling apart. But yeah, obviously we spoke about like Yuki Tsunoda there. I think one seat that he would maybe be eyeing up if it didn't belong to someone's son would be the Aston Martin Honda collaboration that's coming soon. Lance obviously didn't even make the grid after his accident in qualifying. Scary one, not going to lie.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
Didn't even make the race because the car was a flat pack. Basically. And then they said,
well, no,
fair we don't have instructions right
fair
now.
Fair play to the mechanics.
And I were like, no, yeah, you're not been in it again.
Like, yeah. Mechanics, the car came back. They were just like, fuck this. Yeah. Like, it's really hot, guys. And like, I'm going to rebuild the car. I'm going to work all night. Also, it's already 4 a.m. here.
Yeah.
I'm now going to work all the way through the morning when I'm meant to be sleeping, which means I'm going to have to then wake up at like 4 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, mate, just fucking go to bed. When the car's coming back
in a skip, then it's not racing. It
shows how little faith they have in him to get points. The fact they didn't even want to start him in a race because they think he won't do well.
They look slow this weekend. Though. They did. Alonso looked very slow.
Also, we are being harsh on the mechanics. I'm sure they did start work onto it. I think it's more like...
That's actually not the reason. He was actually just...
It's Lance after he had a medical check. He still had aches afterwards, basically. So although medically it's fine, you can still feel...
Not surprised, lads, be honest with you.
You don't want to be doing Singapore and
he's doing that quite a bit. Yeah. I'm surprised he doesn't have a concussion or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did, by the way, he did really well to get his hands off the steering wheel.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that is such a quick crash and obviously it snapped and he tried to save it.
Yeah.
But even in the motion of between trying to save it and then hitting the wall was probably like half a second.
Yeah. But you just got to go, wow.
I think that's the thing where many people think, because when you're in a cockpit like this, you can't really just do that with your hands. So the weird thing you have to do is basically just do that kind of thing and then kind of do that. Because if you were to just kind of let go, you have to like move your head on the headrest, whatever.
I don't see this more in drivers. I mean, Ricardo, obviously that's what his injury was from.
Yeah.
And it was a slow hit and then the wheel spun. I'm surprised we don't see that happen more often.
There are some hits you can do which you can kind of take. Basically, there are instances where I think Leclerc's one in Monza, where he went into it, he held onto the steering wheel because he kind of went more into the side rather than front on. He held onto it because you can still, want to try and correct it.
Yeah,
I think Ricardo's one was a bit like a quick jolt, which I don't think he was.
Well, I know Verstappen.
He was always tall.
Yeah. Firm it and keep your hands on the wheel and just accept it. Which is probably a classic Jos, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jos driving standards.
Let go of the wheel, you'll be left the track.
Yeah.
I'll let go of you here.
I want this crash to cause you pain. Bless him. Hopefully, we'll see him back, I'm sure, for Japan.
Yeah, I think Mike Crack said
terrible name.
I can't.
Hold on, we don't
change hear your name.
Not live on air, mate.
Yeah. Mike Crack said, he said he's definitely going to be back for Japan, which I was a bit like, you can't, he said that, he's like 100% he's going to be back in the race. Like, mate, you can't just assume you can't that guarantee stuff it straight away.
I mean, he drove with half a hand at the start of the season, so I respect
And he was overtaking guys.
Yeah.
I was in better form then than he is now.
That's what frustrates me.
I'm a real Embari.
That's what really frustrates me about
Stroll. Keep hurting his hand.
Genuinely, because like even, it was Bahrain and then it was Saudi, wasn't it?
He was unreal.
And I always harp back to this move, but I think it was the first lap, and you know that long hairpin at Saudi Arabia? He just went round the outside of Ferrari and I was like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
He might actually have the minerals to drive a car that's quick. And then the car broke down. I was like, oh, that's sad. But then from that point onwards, it's just been the same old.
Stroll.
Yeah. Is there realistically a chance
we
don't see Stroll in that Aston next season? Or in the next few years?
Honestly, you have to think about it like this. Lawrence Stroll bought this team for his son so he can have a seat.
That is
simple. So why would he fire the man?
Yeah.
He's not there to make money.
Obviously, let him do a simulator or something.
We all understand, everyone understands that relationship there. Everyone knows he shouldn't be in that position because he's not earned it anymore. Everyone who's been his teammate in Aston has beaten him very, very easily. But like you said, none of that matters. It's because my dad owns the team, therefore that literally gives me the seats. Don't care if I'm the back of the grid, I will still be here. I'll be Nikita Mazepin-ing this the entire time.
Have you seen the graph of like when everybody's contracts are ending, drivers? Yeah. And then Stroll, unknown. Nobody knows the date of this contract ending. Nobody knows the details of this contract. He's on a month to month or he's on a 10-year contract. Nobody knows the details.
Yeah, because there isn't a contract.
How do you even know that?
We don't even know.
Yeah.
He's under a family contract. He's almost
always going to move next month
until the bloodline changes.
You have to remember, he's probably a shareholder, a major shareholder in this. Why would he lose his seat? Yeah. It's only when Lance decides, I'm done with Formula One, right?
Yeah. Do you not think
I'm not enjoying this anymore? Then Lawrence will sell the team.
Yeah, facts.
To Honda, maybe.
Do you not think that
like just playing devil's advocate, if his dad was just like, look, listen, Lance, at that family Christmas dinner, he was just like, look, listen, Lance, I'm not going to lie to you, mate, you're making it hard. You're making things a bit difficult for me to keep spending.
Losing sponsors. I mean, yeah, they lost Peroni.
Yeah.
They went to Ferrari.
We're losing sponsors here, yeah? If you don't buck your ideas up, he's not going to actually do it. But if he just says that, he might actually get some more performance out of Lance. Because surely, like, for me, I mean, I'm not an elite sportsman. I know it's difficult to tell. But like,
I keep seeing everywhere about your bloody knee. What's wrong with your knee?
Oh, it's just a joke.
I would have gone pro,
but the knee injury got in the way. Get me. That did actually happen though. I was leaving school once, and a guy on a bicycle rode into my knee, and it just like fucked it.
Which one? Your left.
But also, just wasn't good enough at football. So that's actually
he went from Liverpool to last lap.
Yeah,
just that moment there.
Which knee tickler?
Wouldn't have it any other way. It's my right one.
You right footed.
I am right footed. Yeah.
Yeah. If I didn't hurt my wrist, I'll be an F1 right now.
In fact, yeah, the little pinky injury. Yeah. But yeah, surely like a little bit of that complacency creeps in a little bit. If you know your seat's there forever, surely you're not going to go,
well, I think
the extra 0.1%.
Well, I think he already knew that, and that's why in his whatever his makeshift contract is for this season is that he doesn't have to do any media stuff at all. And literally they will pay the fines of not having to do the media obligations because they know people will be like, hey, so why are you shit?
Yeah,
like, and
I've never noticed that he just you never see any views.
There was one recently, wasn't there? There was one recently, and he was just like, car just wasn't very quick. Was
yeah,
like, but you were this much slower than Alonso. Ask Alonso then.
Yeah, they say apart from like, you know, if it's like a Ted or whoever it was,
Canada, right?
That's it. Yeah. Apart from that, like media obligations like this, they will not do because he's wanting to focus on his racing. So surely at the beginning of the season, obviously they were like, mate, you're shit. Get it better, so you need to head down into it, and it's still not working.
Yeah.
But obviously, his dad will know that as well. But he will like, right, I'm just going to give you the best opportunity and best chance to do that by getting a brand new factory, a brand new wind tunnel, brand new car. Here's, in theoretically, my thought, the best driver of the grid. I'm going to get you Fernando Alonso, which was after having Vettel. Like, he's doing everything as daddy can do to get him the best opportunity to be a better driver.
And learn from your mentor.
That's why he's awful. It's because he's so spoiled. He can have anything he wants. And he's, you know, he's been put in this amazing team with arguably the best facilities on the grid, at least when the wind tunnel's, you know, operational. For him, he knows he's going to be there no matter how he performs. So why would he perform?
This might be a crazy take, but retrospectively, I'm thinking that 2020 Racing Point might be better than it was.
Yeah.
But they had Checo and they had Stroll.
I only agree because the beginning of the season, but they had copied directly from Mercedes.
Yeah.
Whereas here, this season, they hadn't done as much. Obviously, now we're in a stage now where all the other teams are starting to develop where, oh, that side bottle looks good and all that rear wing looks kind of good. And everyone's starting to now blend the best bits together.
That Racing Point was good, though.
It was good. So I'm thinking, did they maximize that car?
Yeah.
Those two guys.
Well, I think Perez was just brilliant.
Perez was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's why he got the Red Bull seat that season.
But to be fair, ultimately, like, that was probably Stroll's most impressive season to me.
Yeah, he got pole.
He got pole in Turkey.
Two, three podiums or something.
Yeah, he was quite unlucky. I remember him, he got a couple of podiums and he was like doing well in like Mugello, for example, and the car just failed.
Yeah, blew up and whatever.
And it's like, he was actually pretty good. That's why it's so frustrating because I know there's actually like a decent driver in there.
Just inconsistent.
And he's just inconsistent.
Cool. Yeah.
His junior record is good, but it's all Prema. You're just in the best team the entire time all the way through. So it's kind of a little bit hard to judge. But
he has got good pace. But like we were saying before,
it is consistency.
With Yuki of saying, is he like a Red Bull driver? No. But is he a good F1 driver? Yeah, sure. Mm. Like compared, if you put him against, you know, like Magnussen or Hülkenberg or... I don't know, even like Joe or something like that. It's like, yeah, he's in that collective bunch of like, these are F1 drivers. Are they going to be world champs or what have you? It's he fits in that bubble, but not the team's not going to succeed. Yeah.
And there are always drivers throughout Formula One history that are never going to be champions, but just kind of stick around. You know, like drivers like Sutil, Glock, that are always there. They're not spectacular, but I just think he can suit another team much better, like a, you know, but Aston Martin, they want to win championships.
Mm-hmm.
He won't do that. He needs to go somewhere else.
I think I saw a stat that Alonso scored more points from the beginning of the season to Baku, which is four races, than Lance has scored all season.
Mm. There you have it.
Yeah. What do you think Stroll has to do to like actually impress us. Because obviously, Fernando Alonso is Fernando Alonso, right? And this is like, it's like a double-edged sword of like, cool, you can have a really experienced teammate that's amazing and he can learn everything there is to learn. But also it's Fernando Alonso you're competing against, so he's probably going to get slapped. Like, what is a metric for us that we look at Stroll and we go, no, but I mean, like, what could he achieve?
Oh, I see.
And we'd go, okay, right, you've actually done a decent job here.
I think it's, well, I'd say time delta. That's what teams look at when they're assessing a driver. Yeah, true, you know, if it's, I would say for him, to Alonso, given his dad running the team, given everything he's been given, to warrant staying in the team, I don't know what you guys think, I'd maybe say, well, no more than half a second, I would say, to Alonso.
Yeah.
Because Alonso is, you know, he's Alonso. He's amazing, especially this year. And I think, yeah, if he doesn't achieve that, I say he's going to be dropped, but he won't be dropped anyway. No matter what he does, no matter how much slower he is, it won't change a thing.
I think, it's just like, also with the qualifying and also the standings.
Been struggling with that massively.
Qualifying is a huge one. That's why I'm like, you need to get the, that one lap pace down to like properly figure out how you're going to do that.
Because I'm looking at the Constructors' Championship now. We don't have it up on the screen, but like I saw the Drivers' Championship earlier, and Lando is now only about 15 or so points behind George Russell, which is mental to me, given the difference.
Probably closer now.
Right. No,
after this race here.
Yeah. It's something like that after this race. It might be like 12 or something. And obviously, Fernando Alonso has been third for a long time in this Drivers' Championship, but the difference in pace between McLaren and Aston Martin now, with this many Grand Prix left, there's probably a chance that McLaren could overtake Aston Martin.
Yeah,
between now and
the development McLaren have been doing is been rapid,
and Stroll not being there is most of the reason why.
Yeah,
if we're going to be honest, because Fernando Alonso's probably done everything he could have done.
Yeah,
less than 100 points between McLaren and Aston Martin right now.
How many races left?
Seven. And you got it's two against one.
Mm. Yeah, it is basically. Yeah.
Driving wise.
And Piastri's getting his upgrades next race.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because he only had three or four in this one, whereas Lando had nine.
Yeah. It's not impossible. It'll be tough. It will be tough. I didn't realise it was that much, but it's not impossible. And the reason for that is because Stroll's not been pulling.
I hope they do overtake, because I prefer McLaren, but just out of principle, you can't have a team with one driver that scores you points.
Yeah.
You can if your car is ridiculously good, you know, it's Schumacher 94, for example.
Red Bull now.
But you can get away with that.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to build a team, get higher in the constructors to get the revenue, prize money to be able to reinvest, you need two drivers doing that. McLaren are hitting the nail on the head on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now those cars are similarly paced. The Merc, Ferrari, Aston Martin and McLaren, you're seeing the driver skill.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
And if you've just got a passenger, because how much times am I going to see Alonso in Q3 and Stroll's out in Q1?
Yeah.
And it's also something you can't really teach. Like, there's also like, it's, you can have people who've done go-karting and getting coaching for years, but ultimately it's kind of like, unless you can actually properly learn and adapt, it's so hard to change out of that. And I think with like Stroll, because he's been doing it now for so long, he knows how to drive an F1 car in his own way.
Yeah,
and it's so hard to like teach in quotations an old dog new tricks kind of thing.
It's
you can have him around the best facilities, best drivers, what have you, but ultimately if you've been doing something a certain way for so long, it's so hard to kind of retrain that. So I don't think we will see an improvement from Stroll ever again, really, to combat or even come close to Alonso.
Sad.
I've realised that was quite harsh, but I mean, like, that's the
reality. In his comparison against Fernando Alonso, I hear it, you know? I think a driver gets to a certain point in their career, in terms of not in terms of age, but how long they've been in the sport, and there's only marginal gains they're going to make in terms of pace. Very marginal. Other than that, it's experience, racecraft, and whatever.
I think it's adversity as well. Stroll's faced zero adversity in his life. Everything has been handed to him on a platter. And maybe that's harsh, but
that's such a funny way of saying it. But I hear it. Yeah,
no, he's a billionaire child, right?
Yeah. So he's faced nothing tough, nothing that he needs to, you know, dig deep and get over and sort out.
Mm-hmm.
If he has a bad car, his dad will buy a different team, you know. So I'm not surprised that he's just nowhere, because there's no way, he doesn't know how to improve.
Yeah, just to find that resolve almost. I mean, I'm sure there's been times during his junior career where he's had to dig deep a little bit, but like you're right.
Yeah.
It's only marginal because of the overall position that he's in, which is usually like the best car in a junior category, or just you're not going to lose your seat in an F1 car. So it's fine.
You have to remember, look, you are a person that's not as motivated as the drivers around you, and you're dealing with people that have crazy skills.
Yeah.
Like, they're more talented than you, the drivers that are around you. So we talk about the Ferrari drivers, the Merc drivers, the McLaren drivers. You're going to get exposed in that area.
Yeah. You have to want it more.
You have to want it more. Mm. Putting Alonso in that seat might have been a disaster because he's exposed your son even more.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, it's
also
so
not
hard now.
Means we can see this new Alonso coming back, and it's been great to see.
Yeah, so, that brilliant. Is one thing. Yeah, I love it. Fernando Alonso being back.
I wanted him out of the championship because I was like, mate, he's too old, get some new blood in.
Yeah, yeah.
Slap me wrong. Like, fair play. I love it.
Slap
to
an Aston.
To be able to perform at that age.
Unbelievable. So good.
Magic Alonso. Mercedes did nothing.
Yeah, facts. Also been his best team move decision in about 15 years.
Alpine look horrible right now.
Horrendous, yeah. Well, obviously, Aston can't survive in a Constructor Championship with one car and one driver scoring all the points, but Red Bull can. Max Verstappen, I think, would have won the Constructor Championship on his own this season, or can do.
Yeah.
We've seen a race here today where Red Bull weren't at the front and kind of driving off into the distance, and it was pretty good. Final question I want to pose to you all. Who wins the Constructor Championship and Drivers Championship if Red Bull didn't exist this season?
Mm. Oh,
good question. And we're basing this, by the way, everyone who's watching and listening on all your only platforms, without looking at the championship standing. So
we're not just going to read the constructors'
drive. Obviously some people are going to be like, oh, actually, Ferrari have got over 150.
They would have won this race this year.
Yeah. We're not doing it statistically. We're just doing it.
Because literally then it'll be just the same answer. Because also change, we're imagining this straight away without any... previous results or anything. Like the brand new season.
Yeah. If there was a brand new season from this point onwards.
I would say...
Verstappen and Perez in the driver market.
They're not in the driver market.
They've been deleted from the championship, basically.
From the database.
Here we go. FIA said, actually, no, you did cheat. You're disqualified for a season. The whole team and two drivers. So that's how they are.
Yeah, basically.
I would say that... I would probably say for the Constructors' Championship, Mercedes?
It's really tough, isn't it?
It's so hard.
Because I was going to say Ferrari, but I think there's been so many reliability and logistical issues. Probably not. So I'd probably say Constructors... Mercedes.
Operationally, they've had some powers this year as well.
And then I'd probably say... either Alonso or even Norris for title.
Wow. From
this point onwards, though.
Because Alonso did great at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then now they've hugely dropped off. I would actually say Alonso, I would say.
You would say Alonso, even with the Aston as it is now?
Well, no. Like, you got to remember, though, like, he was consistently on podiums.
Oh, yeah, no, facts.
Like,
facts.
Quite a long while.
Earlier into the season as well.
Yeah.
I'm saying, look, this is not biased.
Here we go.
I'm not biased.
Here we go.
No, but honestly.
Tell which team he's for.
He's wearing orange.
McLaren, since they had the new car in Austria, they've outscored so many teams week by week basis.
Yeah.
So, and thinking about that driver pairing and their ability to, you know, score high points and get those, Lando Norris has scored how much points since Silverstone?
Yeah.
Compared to other drivers around him.
I couldn't believe he was that close to Russell. I'm not going to lie.
He's so close to Russell and Sainz and Leclerc, and he gave him a head start. Half the season, he weren't there in the points. So you have to say, on the balance of things, even, if it was drivers, Lando would probably be challenging.
Mm.
And constructors, I think it would be between Merck and McLaren.
How about you, Luke?
I think if the championship started now... I don't think McLaren, but I would say McLaren after next race, because then Piastri will have the upgrades will be level.
Yeah, true.
There'll be two cars that are ridiculously strong. And McLaren as an operation, they're not like Ferrari, where they kind of have horrendous mishaps.
Mm.
Yes, they may have an accident here or there, but those three, I mean, you just can't really split them. The driver pairings in each team is unbelievable.
I think this is what it is, because I'm thinking of the Constructors' Championship. Yeah,
who's yours?
It's so tough because you've got Mercedes, George and Lewis, I would say, are pretty level overall, like back and forth between a season. Lewis obviously has the edge, but
yeah,
you can rely on both of them. McLaren, the same. Obviously, Oscar, unlucky today in qualifying on a Saturday, but an excellent driver. And when they both have the same car, it's at Silverstone, they were right next to each other,
yeah,
glued together.
I mean, even in this race, it's just really weird with George and Lewis.
Yeah, here, yeah, yeah. I mean, he rose through the order. And then Ferrari are probably the most even driver pairing on the entire grid. Yeah.
Mm.
So it's really tough.
Right, it's impossible.
Do you know what you have to think about operationally now?
Yeah, it has to be operationally. Yeah. And I think that's why I wouldn't choose Ferrari for the constructors. Yeah. I think they would come extremely close.
Yeah.
I think it would go down to like a final race of the season.
Yeah.
But I think it would end up just about being Mercedes, even though they've had some mishaps this season as well.
And for your title winner? Who's holding that trophy?
Fucking hell.
You quadrant bias.
I know. Quadrant bias is telling me one thing. Recency bias is telling me another because of Carlos. Because Carlos's form right now is really good.
It's incredible.
He's accelerating really strong.
Yeah. Mm.
He's actually accelerating away from Leclerc. I actually think it would... Oh, fucking hell, there's Lewis as well. Jesus Christ. I think it would be between Sainz and Lando. And Lewis on like the final day of the season.
If he has the car, Lewis pips it. It's Lewis.
See, if he's been there and done that.
Yeah,
but then just Carl and Mercedes are slightly further off Ferrari. They're just a tiny bit away overall package rather than just today. Yeah.
Carlos has shown now that if he's in a front running car, he knows what he's doing.
Mm. Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
If all the cars are equal, Lewis Hamilton. Mm. But I think Mercedes are just a tiny, tiny bit off Ferrari and McLaren.
I think Ferrari do have a good car though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's over a season. You know, winning a race or two is easy, but you've seen it done time and time again. But having the consistency in a whole year and the maturity to know when to choose your battles, fight this person, know I'm here for the long run.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something that Verstappen's learned.
Yeah.
It took him a year or two to learn it.
Yeah.
Leclerc struggles with that. Hamilton obviously has
been there, done that.
Like, what, 7 times?
But let us know yours down in the comments.
Yeah, please do, honestly, because we can't.
There is no correct answer. There's no wrong answer.
Yeah. No, notice how nobody said Aston Martin.
I said Alonso.
You said Alonso.
No recency bias here. Starting now.
Have you noticed whenever they were doing build-ups or quality, they were saying, yeah, the Ferraris, the Mercs. And then they didn't ever say Aston Martin, they said Alonso.
I wouldn't have that. Spot on.
I would. Yeah. I would, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, guys, for coming
on. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Sensational race and brilliant podcast, I've got to say. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube if you're watching our, well, sub beautiful faces. Beautiful for these three guys. If you're watching on YouTube, of course, like and subscribe. If you're listening on audio only platforms, then give us a 5-star rating. Por favor. Lads, tell them where the people can find you.
You can find me at youtube.com/MattAmis or just look in the description.
Answering the questions that people never realized they needed to ask, I feel like is your channel.
It's literally that's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah
also
yeah.
known
it's
as
always so interesting.
Also, I've been told a few times the Tom Scott of motorsport.
Nice. We love
which I like, it's nice, cool.
Find the biggest deplate platform, F1, Pit Stop Fracker on YouTube and all other platforms. Ooh. And McLaren Fans TV if you need biased McLaren content. Stream every Tuesday. Check us out on YouTube.
We all do, let's be real.
Yeah, so YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, at The Racing Pilot. If you want to know a bit more behind the scenes about the sport, a bit kind of financial details, driver salaries. It's always very hard to know the numbers. But
can you tell us Strolls?
Sorry?
Can you tell us Strolls?
What's Strolls contract?
It's
his father's
technically
love.
It's a whole Formula One team.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
free courtesy car as well.
Facts. It's not bad in Aston Martin as well. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll see you for the Japanese Grand Prix bright and early, yeah? Next week. Adios.
Bye-bye.